this is Seth Wires from Channel 9 coming to you from Codemash 2016, and I had to rope you in to talk about some cool stuff, but why don't you introduce yourself, tell us who you are and what you do.
So I'm Steve Sloka. I am a software architect for UPMC Enterprises. Mm-hmm. So I help build software for healthcare.
Okay.
I work for the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, which is a big healthcare provider in Western PA.
Fantastic. So the topic that you were talking about, we were supposed to meet earlier, but I've got wires crossed, but I really want to learn about Docker, mm-hmm. Kubernetes, other stuff. What is Docker and why is it such good hotness today?
So Docker is a way to run containers on a Linux-based system. And what we use that for at UPMC is it helps us really manage development environments because it's so much faster. Spinning up VMs takes minutes to hours sometimes.
Sure.
Containers can start second, sub-second. So I can easily bring up a whole environment, tear it down on my laptop, which is great.
So yeah. If this is an environment, it can't be like a full environment. It's got to be like a stripped-down thing, right?
No, I mean, it's all the same components. And especially if you use Docker in production, you can use the same containers on my development machine as I can in production.
So it's not a full VM though, is it?
So it's not a VM, so containers aren't VMs.
Right, I know that.
Yeah,
trying to find what the difference is. How would you describe the difference?
So think of a container as just running a process.
Okay.
Right, and the cool thing is I can bake in all the dependencies of that process into a Docker image. So my machine doesn't have to have Java, say 1.8, or have a certain version of Go. I can just bake that into the image, and then I can run that anywhere as long as I have Docker.
Interesting. So maybe it's a collection of processes that are running?
So you should have one container should just do one thing.
Okay.
Should run one process. So if you have five things to run, you'd have probably five containers.
And does the Docker subsystem provide all the dependencies then, or how does that work?
No, so you would when you build a Docker image, you would add those in. So you'd create a thing called a Docker file.
Okay.
And in that, you would say, hey, I'm going to use some version of Linux, and then I need Java, so I'll add Java to it. I need these dependencies. I can add these binaries, add whatever. And it's baked into that.
Got
and
it.
I can deliver that image around the network.
Are those image files long? It's just a text file, right?
No.
Or is it more stuff?
It's more stuff, yeah.
Okay.
So it's all of the pieces and parts. So if you depending on how you build your Docker file, those can be really big or really small. So the problem today is people are generating these like gigabyte-sized Docker files,
right,
or Docker images, and they're hard to move around. So there's steps you can do to make those smaller. So Go is a great technology that lets you statically compile binaries. And because they're so small, they have no other dependencies because they just run. So you can make a Docker file that's like 3 megs. That's your app, and then you can ship that around, and it's fast.
But the thing is, it's not just your app. It's the environment in which it lives happily, right?
Yeah, so from dev, Docker itself works great. When you get to that kind of world, I think you need to use something like Kubernetes. And that's what we use at UPMC today. It's one of our tools. There's other things that we use. But it helps manage your containers at scale. So Google wrote this a year ago or so. They've been doing it for 10 or plus years.
Right.
It's not old to them, but so Kubernetes lets you take that. So if I had 10 servers, I had 2 servers, I can deploy containers out to those servers and manage them as if they were one machine.
Interesting. Before we get to Kubernetes, because it sounds like Kubernetes is about sort of managing many containers,
mm-hmm.
One of the interesting things you said, and the way you said it, it hit home, was like, mm-hmm. A Docker container should do one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you tell us a little bit more about that? What do you mean by that?
So great example. So I guess I'm going to lead into Kubernetes again, but
yes,
so
it's okay.
Yeah. So by doing one thing. So let's take an example. If I build a REST API, mm-hmm. right? So he handles REST requests. REST requests come in, and then you always should log. So I'd write logs to some volume, some share on in my mm-hmm. container. So that should do one thing, right? But then I also, in a distributed environment, I need to centralize all those logs because
right.
I'm not going to like SSH into every box. Mm-hmm. So what I want to do is have another container that picks up those logs from that share and shoots them off to some sort of central store, like Elasticsearch or something. Now, in Kubernetes, you can have a thing called a pod, and a pod is one or more containers. So what I can do is I can split out my operations and say, hey, this container is my REST API, this container is my logger. And the beauty of that is I can now reuse things. So now I can reuse that logger in other things. So say I had an Nginx web server, I can have it pick up logs from Nginx and shoot it off. Now I have one binary that does all my centralized logging.
Got
and
it.
The team that builds the API doesn't know or care. So the
That's
other
awesome.
Team can then change that. Maybe they swap out Elasticsearch for some other backend store, mm-hmm. And they can reuse that. So that decoupling of things is the premise of Kubernetes, and it makes it really powerful.
It feels like with Docker and with containers, that now, because the for us, canonically, we would and in Java, you'd put something in a jar to do one thing, mm-hmm. and then you'd pass around jars.
Right.
But now with containers or with assemblies, assemblies in .NET, which is equivalent to jars, but now with containers, you can pass around the binary and its requisite environment. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think the ASP.NET like 5 stuff, you can bake in everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm trying to understand, it's like, because my understanding is, correct me if I'm wrong, is that a Docker container is like a VM, but mini. Is that wrong, right? What do you think? I could be wrong. I'm okay being wrong.
No, it's cool. I'm trying to think of how to explain it, because it's, VM's a bad term, but.
It is, because it's very thick and it's heavy.
Yeah. Because you wouldn't put, you know, 5 things in a container, you'd have it just do one. I guess I'm struggling to.
So is it a set of processes that are in the Docker container? What is it that makes it a container? What's inside the container once you've actually created one? I know there's a definition, but what is actually in the binary of that container?
So in the example of that REST API that I was talking about, that could be, you know, a jar. Mm-hmm. And so in that container I have Java, mm-hmm. all the Java things that I need, and then I have that jar. And then the container has an entry point. And I say, hey, when you start up, you do this one thing. And in my example, maybe it's a Spring Boot app. Okay. So it executes that one jar, and then that's all it does. If that jar dies, the container dies, and it's gone.
Got it.
It's like a process. And then it's, you know, Kubernetes job or Docker's job to then restart
that. Fire up another one.
If that happens, yeah.
So in that one container where that one single jar is running, you might also have another container where another jar is running that does a different thing that has a different, that's running a different version of Java, right?
Sure, absolutely.
There you go. So what I'm seeing then is that the container also has specifications for the environment that particular jar needs to live in.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can also bake in other distributions, right? So I could have like a Docker image based on Ubuntu, running next to a Docker image based on Red Hat.
Got it.
You know, and if I like, you know, Red Hat things, I can deploy that way. So,
got it. And so now that we have all these containers doing single things, there's going to be a lot of them. We got to manage them, and that's where Kubernetes comes in.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what is the main responsibility of Kubernetes? Is it to manage if a container is alive or not? Is it to manage how many there are? Is it like if there's too much strain on a particular container, does it make more for that particular service? How does that work?
Yes, everything. Yeah. So.
Wow, dude, why are you here?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
So Kubernetes job is you can define what's called a replication controller,
okay.
right? And in there you can say, hey, I'm going to run these set of containers, and that's like a manifest. And then you can say, and I want to run a replica count. So I want to run, say, 5 of them or 10 of them.
Okay.
And then it's Kubernetes' job to say, hey, take all 10 of these and make sure they're scheduled across the cluster efficiently.
Right.
And then if a node dies, it'll fix that for you. The goal is to abstract ourselves away from the hardware. So as an application person, think about your containers and your application, but not care about the OS.
I see.
I don't want my OS, you know, my OS engineer working on my application, just like they don't want me in the kernel messing up with IP table routes. So we can work together, you know, this whole DevOps thing.
Yeah.
You know, I can really literally just deploy my app and have the power to do that. And then ops guys can then deliver the infrastructure and we can live together but not have to cross our worlds.
That's
know?
Interesting because now Kubernetes, as you're describing it, is it's being able to manage you could pretty much say, here's how many containers should be running. If there's too much pressure on them, make another one, right, for example?
Right. In 1.1, there's this horizontal autoscaler where it'll look at load and say, oh, I need to add more, and it'll scale out for you automatically. If nodes die, you know, in the middle of the night, like say, you know, a whole rack of servers go down, you don't have to get paged because it'll just fix itself.
Right.
You come in the morning and look at the logs, something went down, I fixed it, and then you can take action then.
I don't want to get too much into the weeds, but this is a weed question.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, there needs to be routing to the services. How does it load balance? Does Kubernetes handle that too?
Yeah, there's a concept called services, and their job is to look at all the pods in the system and know where they are and route requests to them. It's dynamic, so as things come and go, the service manages that and is able to find them and route requests.
So is Kubernetes the only thing that does this with containers? Is there something else?
There's lots of other people, yeah. So
okay.
Docker has one called Swarm.
Okay.
They do something. HashiCorp has a thing called Nomad. They do some things. There's lots of people out there that Mesosphere is one that can run containers. I think Azure. I think it's easy now for the new thing. So there's a container scheduler you can add to that. So it's Google isn't the only one doing this, but to me, I think they're kind of leading it now with
awesome.
Where they are because I think of all their background and experience.
Sure. So we've talked a lot of theory, but I mean, is it hard to? How do you create a series of machines that have Docker to even play with this? Hint.
Yeah, so here I have a Raspberry Pi cluster that I built. So what it is this is running a kernel from I guess HiPROT online that comes with Docker pre-installed. I think it's Debian based. So I deployed that in all the SD cards and then deployed Kubernetes. They have this binary called a hypercube, and what it is, it's all the services baked into a container. So really, most of what's running here is running in containers to run Kubernetes itself. And then from there, I can do demos. So today I showed at CodeMash a demo of like pulling cables live, and then showing how the cluster handles that, and it rescheduled the work that was running on those nodes.
So yeah. the remarkableness of this is twofold. Yeah. It's hard to work on distributed computing. Mm-hmm. In a demo because you had to bring more computers.
Right.
And so the remarkable thing is that these, are you got five, right? One, two, three, four.
Four, yeah.
I got excited. You got four literally different computers.
Absolutely.
And the other wonderful thing is that they were able to get Docker containers to work on an ARM chip.
Right, yeah. So it comes out of the box from that company who built it, you know. It runs Docker, and then when I deployed containers, I had to recompile for that architecture.
It's not
out of the world. It's totally doable, yeah.
All right, so let's see some stuff. What do you got to show us?
So the other thing I demoed today was ability to visualize containers running in Minecraft, right? Yeah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you all the pods I have running in my Kubernetes cluster.
And that's this cluster right here, right?
Yeah, that's this running here. So here's all the things running
in
there.
And what are the jobs of each of the clusters? Each of the containers, sorry.
So in this is a simple three-tier app. So here I have a web front end running Nginx, and it's scaled by four. You see there's four running. And then I have a web API. This is a Java app running my API server. And then I have one database, which is my MySQL database, which is this. So it's a simple just request comes in, hits the API looks in the database and brings back some data.
Got it.
So then the idea is we can visualize this in Minecraft, right? So,
wow, love Minecraft. Love me some Minecraft, people. Just saying.
So Docker wrote a thing called Dockercraft, and it did the same thing, but it looked at Docker on your system, which was really awesome. Then I took the idea and said, well, let me look at a Kubernetes cluster instead. So that's what I did. So here, and it's raining, here if we look at these little buildings, these are the same containers or pods now running in Minecraft.
So what's the difference? A pod is a set of containers, right?
It can be one or more containers,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you have a little sign saying what's...
Yep, so this did match the screen we just saw. So here, this is one. I had an API scaled by four, right? So here's one API, there's two APIs, there's the third one, and here's the fourth one. Yep, and then down here I should have the other ones. So then there's my database, there's DB, and then there's another tool called ME that I wrote, something else we could talk about. But
so the only way this could be even nerdier is if we had a VR headset, man.
Yeah.
Like you're literally
going into it, yeah.
Like this is literally Tron, man.
Yeah, I don't have it working here, but I was able to do like the Netflix Chaos Monkey, where you can actually like walk into the building and then like kill it. But I didn't get that all working 100% yet.
Oh, I see. So you wanted to demonstrate what would happen if one of these things was just exploded.
So, yeah, so I mean I could, yeah. Yeah, this should... you control, I should be able to resize this, scale replication controller, web, make it zero. This didn't work before, this works now. So what I just did was I told Kubernetes to resize my cluster to be zero. Uh-huh. So it should kill all of the web containers. This didn't work before, so bad demo. Everything worked today at CodeMash for my demos, but maybe not now.
Of course. Yeah. Only when we record it, it's getting shy.
Absolutely.
But it's crazy that, you can see the internet stuff lighting up over here. You can see the thing processing. Essentially, there's a web service here that is telling Minecraft, this is what we got.
Right, so how this works is Kubernetes is based on an API, right? And everything goes through the API. It's a really rich API. So this is today in cloud native computing, APIs to me are king. You know, if I can create infrastructure in Azure, AWS, or anywhere, and I can do that with an API. Uh-huh. I can do the same thing with Kubernetes. I can create all these things through APIs. So what it's doing is I wrote some code that watches the cluster and says, hey, when things change, update the Minecraft server, and then things react that way. So what I was trying to do was doing this command, which was scaling the replication controller to say, hey, you know, go from 10 to be zero, and then this should react accordingly. But obviously that's...
It got upset.
It's not working, yeah.
So for those trying to get started with Docker, I mean, what's the easiest way to say you're on a Windows box or obviously a Mac, because Windows is a little bit different, right? What's the best way? Is there like a binary that can, you can download? Because obviously Docker only works on Linux distributions right now.
Yep.
What's the best way to get started?
Probably the Docker toolbox. So mm-hmm. Docker has this great toolbox that gives you all the tools for Windows, Mac, everything mm-hmm. to get running. And that's the easiest way. And they have some great tutorials to get started. Yeah, that's where I would start.
Fantastic. And the cool thing I like about this is that it forces developers to really think about their applications in an intelligent way. And it removes the "it works on my computer" problem.
Right, absolutely. Yep.
Well, this has been awesome. Thanks so much for bringing your setup mm-hmm. and for showing us Minecraft. Talking to this setup, again, tell us your name again and where they can find you on blogs or something.
So yeah, I'm Steve Sloka and I'm at Steve Sloka.
Fantastic. You write anything down ever?
Yeah, I blog, so go to stevesloka.com.
Fantastic. That's stevesloka.com. Thanks so much for your time. Again, we're here at CodeMash 2016. My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9. Take care.